I had some good, good first hour. And I expect more of the same in hour number two. What's cracking? My name is Jim Rohn. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. I'm not done hyping Porter Moser. So really quickly, before I set up hour number two, I just want to say that when he makes a response or has a response the way he did, like, yeah, I love it here. And he's been there 10 years. And they had that magical run back in 2018 to the Final Four. So clearly, and Mark Few has proven this, like, you can achieve what you want to achieve in a lot of cases where you are. The grass might not be greener. And Porter himself, I thought, very astutely pointed out that, yeah, when you're younger, it's all about the trajectory. But then when you make a run like he made, and they made in 2018 where they were, and in a town like that, you start to think, you know what, maybe I don't have to leave. But he did say, my only concern is this. I love it here, but my only concern is when you're outside that Power 5 conference, it makes it more difficult to get in and achieve those goals. And I said, going to break, that if you're an AD or you're an insider or that's the kind of thing that you trade in, your ears are going to perk up on an answer like that. He's not saying, he's not negotiating, he's not looking to leave, but he's saying, here are the challenges inherent with being outside of Power 5. I'm going to tell you, almost any AD in America would probably blow out their existing guy to get that guy. I can't tell you how much I think of him as a coach and a leader and a motivator. Almost any AD would blow out their guy to get that guy. And I'm not looking to cost anybody a job. But if they don't realize that, then they shouldn't have the job they have. That's how good of a coach that guy is and how lucky they are to have him. And you got to do whatever you can to keep him. That's a great coach. 1-800-636-8686. So what we have here is a great coach and a lot of bad takes. I'm trying to weed out the bad takes. I mean, wouldn't this show be amazing if there were only great interviews and great takes? Let's see what we can do about that. Oh, and it's a new day, so I'm kind of curious what you JT peers are on today, because you've got a new thread every single day. Let's find out. Johnny Scabs wants in. Quote, Rome, if Johnny in Texas calling someone a loser isn't the pot calling the kettle black, then I love fat women in yoga pants. Hey, Scabs, everybody's got kind of a weird fetish. I don't need to know yours. All right, like what goes on behind closed doors, Scabs, stays or should stay behind closed doors. Jim, we're so glad the Lakers lost. We absolutely cannot get enough of the Jazz. Signed, dentist offices, telephone hold music, and dads driving their family 15 hours a day across America on vacation. Zenlesk's relaxing emailer. Not this, Dad. That's fine, Rit. Hey, old man, Rit, I know that's what you listen to, but that doesn't mean you should play it on our show. Yeah, not this, Dad. I'm not subjecting my kids to jazz. Now, my old man did, which is in part why I was miserable for a good chunk of my childhood. Him making me listen to his crappy jazz, dragging me around on the weekends to antique with him. I mean, RIP, Pops. I respect my old man a lot, except when he made me listen to jazz and made me go antiquing with him and made me shovel horse crap and made me fix fences with him. Other than that, I had a great childhood. Oh, and when he put my friends to work, too. Other than all those things, I had an amazing childhood. Hey, Jim, the Lakers ran into a buzzsaw, and I thought I had it bad. Signed, Bobby Petrino's face, surviving the pavement. Signed, Mike in Buffalo, helping him. War IRA using phone booths as saunas. And here's the aforementioned thread from the JTP. Hey, Rome, the NBA regular season's great. I don't care what my friends and family think. Signed, adults who show up to work with hickeys. Chris, no longer in St. Pete. Rome, these polygamists sound like they get a lot of action. We can relate. Regards, adults with hickeys. Richard in Chicago. Hey, Rome, even we thought that Gavin's call sucked. Regards, Hickey Necks. Ashley in Nebraska. All right, so clearly adults and hickeys is their thread today. And again, I wonder how this works. Do y'all just kind of sit around in a circle and throw ideas up against the wall? What should we do? What should we do? Yeah, that's the one, hickeys. And then you just start blowing it out. Romy, is Rit eating at his desk? If so, we have an easy way to clean up. Regards, people that lick their fingers clean during a meal. Geoff, Rome, the Jazz are pretty good. It's like you want to take in everything they bring every day. Just give us more. Signed, adults who lick their fingers after eating Cheetos in public. Chris, no longer in St. Pete. We're outside sales. All right, quick question, JTP. Are you allowed to have concurrent threads? Because it seems like you got two going on at once now. I've never seen that before. And do you really want to do that? Shouldn't you save your adults who lick their fingers in public for tomorrow? So you have one for tomorrow. And just stick to adults with hickeys today. Carl tweets, the NBA regular season is really crappy. Signed, adults who lick fingers while eating. And you know what's really crappy? That thread. So I think I'll go back to my takes. You have your telephone number. If you want to use it, go right ahead. And if not, just remember this. It is toll free. All right, so for better or for worse, and I'm going to say mostly for worse, Alvin DeLauro, our regular sound engineer and genius on the board, maintains a fat alarm on deck. The fat alarm is unfortunately exactly what it sounds like. It is an alarm designed to alert the masses that an athlete or a celebrity has blown up. It sounds like this. It's used to alert the masses that somebody has blown up. So it is exactly what its name suggests. It's a fat alarm. Uh-oh, somebody got fat. Now, unlike most of you, I am looking to keep things fair and balanced. And if you're going to make a ghoulish ritual out of laughing at people that you have never met, that you really know nothing about, who may have added a pound or two or 50, then I'm just going to go the other way. And I'm going to shine up the specimens, especially if they themselves went the other way and they transformed from fat to fit. Enter Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Now, Vladdy will be the first to admit that he showed up in 2019 and 2020 looking more like Carl's Jr. than Vlad Jr. Quote, I came to spring training out of shape for a couple of years. I didn't prepare myself very well, and I felt like my teammates needed an apology from me. End quote. So, dude himself said it and was so embarrassed by his look and his lack of commitment that he apologized to his teammates. He owned it. Remember, this guy was supposed to be the next big thing. Unfortunately, he took that literally. Because Vlad Jr. actually lost his spot at third base after booting the ball a team-high 17 times. He gassed out last season. He missed time with a sore knee. He hasn't even left the yard since mid-August. But that was several pounds ago. Because Vlad Jr. showed up looking svelte and told the media that he has lost an astonishing 42 pounds. 42. If that's true, and I've got no reason to believe it's not, then that's pretty amazing. And you ask, well, how'd that come to be? Was there a moment? Was there an epiphany? He said, quote, one day at my house, I just sat down and I thought about all this. I decided right then and there I was going to get ready. I was going to prepare myself. I was going to work very hard for this year. I feel quicker in all aspects of my game right now. Running the bases, I feel great. Before, I would feel a lot of fatigue after taking ground balls. Now I can take 50, 60 ground balls, and I'm feeling good. End of quote. Vladdy. The former fatty. 42 pounds is a big, big number. That's a huge effort. Congrats to my man for shedding all that weight. So I'm here to give Vladdy his love because he did the work. He put it in. He earned it. And I can't wait to see how that shows up between the lines because this kid's got all the makings of a superstar. We know that. He simply got lost in the sauce. The barbecue sauce. Now, from a slim down dude to the most swole guy ever. Did you all see the video of Browns defensive end Myles Garrett on the basketball court that he dropped yesterday on Twitter? If the answer is no, you got to find it. If the answer is yes, then probably your jaw is like mine, shattered in about 100 different pieces after smashing into the floor. I mean, there are physical specimens, and then there's Myles Garrett. I mean, this dude doesn't even look human at this point. And I mean that in the best way possible. Like, for instance, no disrespect to DK Metcalf, but Myles Garrett in that Hoops mixtape makes DK Metcalf look like, well, me. Look like, well, Wells in the 720. Never mind that Garrett is getting up and down the floor. He's getting up and posterizing fools on a 10-foot hoop. I mean, I can't get past whatever the hell those things are that are hanging off his shoulders. I've seen arms before, but those aren't arms. Those aren't even guns. Those are weapons of mass destruction. You know how we've been on an 11-month shortage of dumbbells nationwide because of the pandemic, and that the pandemic shut down every single gym back in March and nobody could find any weights? Now I know where they all went. I know where every last dumbbell and weight went. Myles Garrett has them and has been lifting every dumbbell, barbell, kettlebell, church bell, and Liberty bell on the planet. Hell, I'm pretty sure this guy could rip a Taco Bell out of its foundation and bench that as well with the cars in the drive-thru and all. I love the guy wearing a Jurassic Park tank too. My man, I think I'd rather take my chances with every T-Rex that ever walked the face of the earth than get on the wrong side of you. In fact, I'm pretty sure that the T-Rex wants nothing to do with Garrett either. Oh, and remember, we saw it on Hard Knocks. This is the guy that writes poetry, right? He's all about that. How does any pencil or pen not instantly snap into a million little pieces when he goes to grab one? Or presses on it. And exactly what does his poetry say now? Roses are red, violets are blue, I'm super jacked and I will kill you. The video of this guy getting up and down and in that barn to me is just mesmerizing. It really is. My man either hit the genetic lottery or he's doing all the right things to fuel that system 24/7, 365. Or both. He looks absolutely incredible. You know, a lot of times you don't see these guys out of pads. You don't see these guys with their helmet off. You don't see this guy in a local run in a tank top. I mean, he is amazing. And notice that nobody is bothering to play any defense on him at all. Nobody is bothering to step in front of him to take a charge. And can you blame anybody at all? Who the hell is looking to get outlined in chalk on that basketball court? So what I'm getting at is this. While y'all want to kill anybody who gains even a pound or gets a little doughy with it, I'm going to go the other way and I'm going to give credit where credit is due. Vladdy for being so much less of a fatty. And for Miles, for being a bleeping monster. Y'all can keep hating. I'm going to just keep hyping because that's who some of you are and that's who all of I am is, if that makes sense. I mean, give him some bleeping credit for real. I'm going to keep it positive. Both those guys look great. So you keep scanning the internet for somebody who's gained a half a pound. And I'm going to give credit to a guy who lost 42 and a guy who looks like he's got 1% body weight.
Credit.
Thanks, Rit.
For real.
1-800-636-8686. Still ahead. Plenty more to come to. I've got, well, this. Hey, Rome. Vlad lost 45 pounds of unwanted weight. I've been trying to lose 225 pounds of dead weight for years. Sign Silk's wife.
Bruh,
I don't think bra goes 225. Maybe. I don't think. Maybe. I don't care. Maybe. Hey, I don't want to hear it. Hey, Rome, you saw him in that wetsuit on Spectrum News 1. He's 240, if anything. Hey, Rome, you saw that zipper fighting for its very life? Yeah, no. Anyway, head football coach Josh Heupel of Tennessee joins me later on this hour. You got your phone number. Stay after it. It's Thursday. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-8686. In addition to giving credit where credit's due, I said it's good day. And part of the reason for that, there's a Jason Avant sighting, which Jason I can't wait to get into. That's Jason Avant. Also, Antoine Winfield Jr. had himself a week. In fact, he's had himself a month, which I love. All of that is still ahead. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Then coming up next segment, Tennessee football coach Josh Heupel. I think they finally got it right. Josh Heupel is coming up at 40 past. Next hour, Jonathan Jones, a CBS senior NFL reporter. And I am looking for your phone calls. You're way out in front. Like, social media is way out in front of the callers today. 1-800-636-8686. That's the number you want to dial. All right, so really quickly, if you thought that Tom Brady, Brady was the only Tampa Bay Buck absolutely getting over on the entire world right now, think again. He's not. Because Antoine Winfield Jr. is having himself a month. He's having himself a February. Winfield, as you know, plays in the defensive backfield for Tampa Bay. In the secondary, and he went all sorts of household late in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl when the Bucs D hammered the nail in KC's coffin on this 4th and 10.
Incomplete, and Tampa Bay makes another stop. Oh, that taunting action right there by Winfield.
That taunting action by Winfield. You heard Jim Nance say it. That taunting action by Winfield. That taunting action by Winfield got him flagged because dude got right up in Tyreek Hill's face and hit him with the deuces. Like, bro, it's 31-9. It's our ball. There's 4 minutes left. You're cooked. Peace out, Reek. Thanks for coming. Fly home safely right now. Now, what you did not hear, you only saw it, but you didn't hear why Winfield did it. Why did he do that in that moment? Here's his explanation.
The taunting, man, it's something I just had to do. When we played him earlier, Hill went off on us. He backflipped in front of my face, gave me the peace sign. So it was only right that I gave him the peace sign right back to him. It felt amazing to be able to do that. Not even going to lie.
It's one of my favorite explanations ever. I mean, first of all, complete ownership, no regrets, a smile, a laugh, and the line, quote, "It's just something I had to do. It felt amazing."
It felt amazing to be able to do that. Not even going to lie.
Not even going to lie. It felt amazing. And I could see where it might. And I agree with the guy. He did have to do it. It's almost like he had no choice. He had to do it. And the reason is, Tyreek Hill, as you may recall, hit Winfield with that deuces back in week 12 as he was striding into the end zone, only to stop on the goal line, turn around, and backflip into it. Think about that for a minute. He put up the deuces as he was striding into the end zone, only to stop on a dime at the goal line and backflip over it. I mean, it was savage. Very savage. Take nothing away from Tyreek. It was amazing. But for Winfield to sit on that for a couple of months and then not only get revenge, but get revenge on the most watched telecast of the year at the end of an absolute world championship curb stomping, and then hit Tyreek with some of his own medicine, his own taunt from 2 months earlier. I mean, that's just too awesome to hate on, honestly. So Winfield was right. He did have to do it. An opportunity like that comes around maybe once in 10 lifetimes, and there was no way that he was not going to take it. Now, since this is football, and you're not allowed to have a good time, and the NFL oftentimes really does stand for the no fun league, the suits on Park Avenue in Manhattan made sure that Winfield had a nice little fine sitting in his mailbox. That fine was $8,000. So, if you're Winfield, what do you do about that? Do you push back? Do you appeal? Do you fight that? No. This guy, he took what was an amazing moment, then a moment that became a little less amazing, and then made it five times as amazing. He paid the NFL, paid the fine, but then matched the amount in a donation to a local youth leadership program at a Tampa area middle school, which is awesome. My man turned the best revenge taunt ever into a donation to kids. And it still gets even better than that, because the Bucks saw what he was doing and they threw down as well and they matched his donation. So now that school gets $16,000 from some generous local champions. And then it gets even better because, according to Winfield, a bunch of fans were hitting him up last week asking if they could help pay his fine because they love the taunt so much. Winfield instead directed those same fans to join him and make donations to the school. No, I got this. I did it. I'm the one who threw up the deuces. I'll pay my own fine. But if you really want to help out, take that same money you want to give to me and give it to the school instead. So even more money for the kids. Just an awesome way to spin a super annoying fine for the greatest Super Bowl taunt ever and well played by everybody involved, especially Winfield. Man, how good must that have felt? Well, he said it. He said it felt incredible. And he had to do it. I mean, it might not have been as savage in a vacuum as Tyreek Hill putting up the deuces and then stopping and backflipping into the end zone. But the fact that it was a revenge taunt on the biggest stage when they shocked the world makes it better. It's better because it went down during the Super Bowl. So I agree, Antoine. That must have felt amazing. Another great player. 1-800-636-8686. Hey, Jimmy, I saw Myles Garrett in the locker room. He looks like all of Cleveland. Regards, Tommy Heinsohn.
I took a look at Baines in the shower. He looks like all of Australia. He is really put together.
Tommy Heinsohn's a legend, man. But not for that statement. I saw him in the shower. He is really put together. He looks like all of Australia. I don't know. Like, I don't want to mess with Alvin's sound deck while Alvin's not here. Actually, I do. Alvin, you're not here. I can do whatever the hell I want because you're not here. We should probably just delete that one.
Dude, now.
Got a shout out to Antoine's pops too, Antoine Sr. He's got to be proud. Very, very proud of his kid. All right, then, when we come back, we're talking Tennessee football. And now, for all the right reasons, they've got their coach, Josh Heupel. Really good hire, I think. That's why we're having him on. That's coming up next. Meantime, I'm hammering that phone number. I hope I have a reason to use it. You get through Hawk, you get on hold, you get on the air, you make the show better. At least that's the plan. First up, though, every bomb of the hour, I've got a sports update for you. So here is the latest on...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Josh Heupel is going to join me momentarily. He is the new head coach in Tennessee. He is returning to the SEC, so we're efforting him. This is interesting. So this tweet is from Sean Crawford, and it says, quote, Alvin who? Ritt is the future behind the soundboard. He is on fire emoji, fire emoji, fire emoji, fire emoji. War St. Louis Battlehawks.
St. Louis Battlehawks.
What's so amusing about that is Hawk didn't find that. Ritt himself found that. So, Ritt, on a day when you should be focused on nothing other than keeping that plane 40,000 feet up, you're actually scouring social media to see what people are saying about you. And you found that, and you put that in front of me.
Oh, crap. It's Thursday. Ritt's on the board.
So, like, that's not even Hawk looking to crack back on the big head. That is Ritt searching himself in the middle of his own shift. Ritt Googling himself. Ritt searching himself. Well, man, just do your job. Just do your job. And your job does not include Googling yourself on air. Like me, I'm here to do work. We're joined right now by the head football coach at Tennessee. He was named head coach on January 27th. He was 28-8 in three seasons at UCF, one of three coaches in college football history to lead a team to an undefeated regular season in his first year with that team. UCF was the only team in the nation to rank in the top five in total offense each of the last three seasons. He is a national champion, an All-American, a Walter Camp Award winner as a player. Tennessee coming off a 3-7 season. They open up against Bowling Green on September 4th. Josh Heupel is my guest. Josh, good to have you back. How are you?
Doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you on. So I'm kind of curious. It's been about a month, in fact, less than a month, since you were named head coach of Tennessee. What have the first few weeks been like for you?
Been a lot of fun. You're trying to get to know your players here on campus, get to know your roster, and let them have a chance to get to know you, too. And I think that's where you spend a majority of your time and energy. At the same time, you got to get going on recruiting, and we've done that. And then you got to get your staff here. So you put those three balls up in the air, and you're juggling a lot here early. But it's been fun. Knoxville's a great place. The university's got tremendous leadership, and excited about who we have inside of our building and inside of our team room.
Josh Heupel joining us. All right, speaking of fun, I did notice that one of the first things you did with the team was have a huge dodgeball game. What was the thinking, Josh, behind that, and did you see any five-star dodgeball types in that group?
Yeah, I got named the all-tournament team. I had a great, great effort, great showing that day. You know, when I got here and just, you know, we had a conversation with our players and in the team room, and then met with, you know, some of the leaders, and then had a bunch of just individual meetings with guys. You know, there's two things that kind of struck me, and the first thing that they wanted and felt like they needed was accountability. I think it's rare that a group of 18 to 22 year olds, that's one of the first things out of their mouth. And the second thing that they wanted was connection. They wanted to spend time together, know each other, and have some fun inside of the building. So it was important to me. You know, we actually had workouts that morning. Guys worked extremely hard, went through, agility stations. And there's a buffer of time there where there's some dead time before they have to go to class. And you know, so we had a little dodgeball tournament. I think it's important that your players have fun and important that they get to know us as a staff outside of, you know, just the meeting room and inside the strength and conditioning inside the weight room. And it was just a good start to them getting to know us and us getting to know them.
Josh Heupel joining us, I would imagine, as head coach. Josh, that's got to be so encouraging to you that when you've got some young guys coming to you and saying, you know, what we want, coach, we want accountability. We want to be held accountable. That's got to be a good thing. So if they're looking for accountability and a connection, I know, knowing you, they're going to get those two things. Now, from our conversations that you and I have had in the past, I know you had a really good thing going at UCF, and obviously we're having a lot of success there. So when this opportunity came up, how did you approach it?
Yeah, UCF's a tremendous university. It's hard to leave anywhere at any point just because, you know, the love that you have for your players that are inside of that locker room, the time and energy you spent in recruiting them, developing them, getting to know them, and the common experiences that you've had. To me, in coming here, this is one of the top, it's one of the premier logos in all of college football. When you think of college football, Tennessee and the brand is naturally going to come to your mind, the steep tradition that they've had here. And then you look at the opportunity to rebuild it and combine the great legacy and the great past with a new age approach. And then you add in the fact that just the leadership here on campus with our chancellor, obviously my familiarity with Danny White, the athletic director, the alignment that they have with me as far as how you want to build a sustainable championship caliber program, it was an opportunity that was too good to pass up.
Josh Heupel joining us. Of course, those who don't know, Danny White had been the AD at UCF as well. You know, one way of describing things is the way that Rashard Kazi, who played for UCF, described it to The Athletic. He said, quote, "He let our nuts hang, man. He let us be us." End of quote. I thought that was an amazing quote and a great way to describe it. How important is it to you to let your guys be themselves?
Really important. I think you have to have fun. You're going to have to work really hard. You got to put a ton of time and energy into this game, but there's no reason that you can't have fun walking into this building with the guys that you love to be around. And then when you get a chance to go play on game day, you got to let your players go play. You recruit great players. You develop them. And then you let them go out there and enjoy the competitive arena that they're in and let them go try to win and play free. And it's important to me that we do that. We got a staff that believes that as well, energetic, engaging, great teachers. And we're going to recruit great players and let them go play on game day, man.
So, Josh, what about Tennessee? Like, it's easy to remember the days when Tennessee football was running off bowl wins, top 10 finishes, but there have been some lean years since then. You know the pride and the passion that fan base has, how badly they want it. What's it going to take to get Tennessee football back to where it used to be?
This is the flagship program inside of the state. The passion and energy that surrounds our program 365 days out of the year is unmatched anywhere in college football. You know, that's why they have a 103,000 seat stadium. And, you know, for me, the great passion and energy for me has always been in being in a place where you're building something, you're creating something. That's what we're doing here. This is a tradition that is as deep as anywhere in the country. We get an opportunity to rebuild that, but do it with a new age approach and put a product out there that I think is going to be extremely exciting. It's going to be an aggressive style of football on offense and defense, different than maybe what the approach has been here in the recent past. And we get to recruit to that. We get to develop our players, and then we get to go have a heck of a lot of fun on Saturday.
All right, so I think you answered it in large part right there. But when you talk about recruiting, when you're recruiting, what type of a player are you looking for, and what is your message to recruits about Tennessee football and what they're going to get if they show up?
The message to Tennessee football is that we're going to be the most aggressive team on the field every Saturday. That's offense, it's defense, it's the way we approach everything that we're doing inside of our building. But we're going to let those guys go play on Saturday. You know, Tim Banks comes from Penn State, top five in so many defensive categories, in particular causing havoc, sacks, turnovers. That's who and what we're going to be. You get a chance to recruit great players and then let them go do those things. And the same thing on the offensive side of the football. You're going to spread people out, play with tempo, apply pressure to defenses, create one-on-one opportunities, and then allow our guys to go win. When you combine that approach philosophically on the football side of it, scheme-wise, and then combine that with an approach of doing it the right way and allowing our players to have fun during the process, I think it's going to be really enticing to recruits.
Josh Heupel is joining us for a few more moments. You know, you've mentioned it being a new age approach a couple of times, and then you mentioned scheme. You know, I'm curious, when we talk about the success that you had at UCF, especially when it comes to offensive football, you did bring four assistants with you from the offensive side from UCF. So what kind of an offense are you looking to run in Knoxville, for instance? Is it a matter of just plug and play, or does it feel like you have to change it up a little?
You're going to change from year to year in what you're doing. Our overall philosophy will not change as far as trying to apply pressure, playing with tempo, trying to create matchups to give opportunities for guys to go win. But you're going to change based on your personnel, and I think that's been true of, you know, when we were in Missouri and led this league in offense for 2 years, we had a certain style of who we were based on our personnel. Went to UCF. It changed subtly year to year, in particular with the different quarterbacks that we played with, but then our skill guys as well. You have to adjust and put your kids in a position of success. You know, first team meeting, I told our players, if we got three great tight ends, we'll play with three tight ends on the field. We'll play with five wideouts if that's our best personnel package. At the end of the day, our players are responsible to show that they're going to play at a championship level. They do that. It's our responsibility as coaches to find a way to put them in a position and get them on the football field to go be successful.
So, Josh, one last thought. Another part of this, of course, is you're returning to the SEC. You were the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach at Missouri. What's it mean to you to return to that conference, and how motivated are you by that challenge?
Absolutely. You know, you just look at the draft. You look at just win percentages of coaches in here. This is the toughest, most competitive league in America, an opportunity for myself or our staff to go prove that every single week. It's the types of kids that you recruit here, man. The kids that are sitting in that team room are really good football players that believe and are extremely prideful in who they are individually, and we're going to build a collectiveness or a collective attitude of connectedness and belief that we're going to be able to go out and be successful each week because of the work that we put into it, and excited about that challenge here coming up next fall.
A new era, a new opportunity, a new challenge at Tennessee. They've got a new head coach. He was named head coach on January 27th. Tennessee is going to open up on September 4th against Bowling Green. Make a note of that. Josh Heupel is their coach. Josh, great to have you back on the show. I appreciate that. I look forward to you and I having a lot of conversations about Tennessee football going forward. Nice to have you, Josh. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Jim.
Great talking to you, Josh Heupel. He was a great player, a national champion, an All-American, a Walter Camp Award winner. He was doing a bang-up job at UCF. And I think if you're Tennessee and you've been chasing and trying to get that thing back and trying to get it back to where it was, that's the guy I think who's going to get it done. I love him as a coach. And I'll tell you why. Number one, really, really smart. Like, no matter what, everybody at that level can X and O. But I think schematically, I think that he is really, really smart at what he does. Like, scary smart. And I like also, quote, we're going to take a new age approach to it. The other thing, and I've talked to him about it in the past, which is why I didn't get into it today, he does a really good job of connecting with everybody. A great job of connecting with every single player all the way down the line, every single staff, and knows how to run a program. And I like the message, too. Like, we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun, but, quote, we're going to make sure come Saturday, quote, they let their nuts hang, but they're going to work really hard. And it's an amazing quote from a player. Quote, he let our nuts hang, man. He let us be us. So what he's saying is, man, get out there on Saturday and let it all hang out. But just know you're going to work your asses off. You're going to work really hard, but we're going to stay connected. And we have a new age approach. I think that's a great hire, and he's a really good coach. In other words, Tennessee, you've been chasing your tail for a long time. I think they got it right. And I think that's not going to be the last conversation he and I have. He's going to bring them back. 1-800-636-8686. Jared in Wisconsin is in. Quote, Ritt searching himself is something I'd love to see. Signed, Ambi.
Ambi.
No, I mean this. Ritt is on Twitter during his shift when he's running the board. You'd think he'd be gripping hard enough. They're doing whatever he could to make sure that nothing bad happens during the show. But no, no, Ritt has time to search Twitter for himself and then put tweets about him in front of me. Glowing tweets about himself. I mean, Ritt, that's some next level garbage, even from you.
Freaking ridiculous, right?
Right. Wells in the 360 tweets, Ritt just exposed his burner account on national radio. Then there's that.
I mean,
like, because nobody would tweet that, right? That had to have been his burner feed, his burner account. Had to have been. All right, so let's set up hour number three. I've got Jonathan Jones to close the program at 11:40 Pacific time. And that's the last segment of this show. So that means in the next two segments, we're open. 1-800-636-8686. Topics that I still want to get to would include, among other things, Jason Avant. Have to get that in there.
Jason Avant.
That's a good day. Also, episode 164 of the Jim Rohn Podcast is live. My guy Adrian Gonzalez, former Dodger, former Padre, came on and broke down the NL West. The arms race between the Padres and the Dodgers. So I'll see if I can reset that for you. 1-800-636-8686. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rohn. Do not go anywhere. A good third hour straight ahead.